And then when I learned these healthy ways, I realized that not only did I just feel better and I was able to manage the stress, but like I was showing up better as a human being in all of my relationships, for myself. I was just overall, like my physical health improved. So when I really saw those significant benefits, I thought, boy, I wish I'd had these tools when I was younger. I would have been a better parent. I would have, my marriage would have been better. It still might have ended the exact same way, but it wouldn't have been as painful because I would have made different choices even when I was leaving.
Welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I am your host, Paulette Rigo, and I'm here to guide you through the storm of divorce into much calmer waters. So hold tight. Whether you're contemplating divorce, in the thick of it, or just rebuilding post-divorce, I've got you covered. Each episode, we'll tackle the tough topics, share resilient stories, and offer practical, helpful advice to help you navigate with confidence wisely. Remember, you're not alone. I've been there, and so have millions of others. And your brighter future awaits, I promise. Ready to turn a tough time into a time of growth? I know you are. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you find this content helpful, please share it with others who might benefit. Now, let's dive into today's topic. See you soon. Hello, and welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. And this podcast is brought to you so that you can get answers to everything, how to deal and manage divorce wisely. My name is Paulette Rigo, and I'm your host. And today I have a very special ex-client, and yoga, Ayurveda, meditation expert, but also a friend joining me. It's really a wonderful bonus when I have clients, and most of the time my clients, I don't work with them for an hour. Nope, I don't. I don't work with them for a week. Nope, I don't. I don't work with them for a month. Nope. I work with them for a long time because we don't know how long divorce is going to last. Sometimes we can get it done in a month or two, but usually not. We don't always control it. And during that process, it's really an honor to get to know people very well. And that's why I bring my guest to you. Her name is Kathy Eads, and she is an experienced certified yoga teacher and an Ayurveda wellness counselor for over 20 years. She has used yoga and meditation to provide calm amidst the chaos, and I do mean chaos, of life for herself and her clients. You might have come across her contributions on Insight Timer, it's a free meditation app, or experienced her therapeutic yoga sessions on her YouTube channel. Kathy and I want to bring to you some ways today of how to manage the stress and the stressors of the divorce process. So welcome to the podcast, Kathy.
Thank you, Paulette. It's really a joy to be here with you.
Well, I'm so glad we made the time to do this because we're coming up on the end of the year when we're recording this, and you likely are hearing this in the new year. 2024 is here, right around the corner. And this is a time when many people say, I want to make a change in my life. I want to add something or detract or delete or let go of something. Sometimes we want to bring things into our life. Sometimes we need to let them go. Sometimes we need to do both. And it's a hard decision. I know when I went through my very long, and I mean long, period of time where I was making some preliminary internal decisions about leaving my career, that just didn't feel like me anymore. It felt really painful and disjointed. And I kept asking myself, why am I doing this? Why do I have this job that I don't want to go to? And then I started to awaken to the feelings of my relationship. My marriage just felt similar. Like, why? Well, how did I get here? And why am I in this situation? And I had zero ability to manage stress. I didn't do it well. I did everything wrong, shopping. I could go through the list. If you can do it as a means of coping mechanisms and escape, I did it. Yep, I did it. Raise your hands, everybody. I get it. We all have those. Yeah, I know. She's. If you're listening to the audio, we're doing the little raise the roof thing. It's normal. Welcome to the human race. It's okay. But I don't want you to use those escapisms and coping mechanisms that are negative and harmful when there are alternatives. So most of the time I am asked, because I'm a credentialed private mediator and certified divorce coach, and I work with people in all aspects of divorce from confusion to conclusion, how do I manage the stress? I feel like I'm losing my mind. I can't sleep. I'm either eating too much or not eating at all. My wellness, what is that? There's so many things that we do to cope or just get through the day when you're going through a divorce, that those things tend to get sidetracked, right? Put on the back burner, as we say. So we want to have a conversation with you today about ways to easily and smoothly add these techniques and little tools you can utilize. Think of a little toolbox that you can carry around with you and you can whip them out at a moment's notice. So before we get into those tips, though, I want Kathy to just tell you a little bit about who she is and what she does and why she does what you do. So, Kathy, take us back on a little bit of a journey in your own experience. What made you so dedicated to helping people manage stress?
Well, I experienced a bit of my own, and we all do, you know. I've heard it said before, like, if you want to have a stress-free life, that means you don't want to be alive. There's no such thing as a stress-free life. But for me, I think the turning point was when I began to realize what a difference it made in my life to go from, as you mentioned, all these unhealthy ways of managing stress and of coping, because we'll find a way to cope, we'll find a way, but I was choosing unhealthy, some of them unhealthy ways. And then when I learned these healthy ways, I realized that not only did I just feel better and I was able to manage the stress, but like I was showing up better as a human being in all of my relationships, for myself. I was just overall, like, my physical health improved. So when I really saw those significant benefits, I thought, boy, I wish I'd had these tools when I was younger. I would have been a better parent. I would have, my marriage would have been better. It still might have ended the exact same way, but it wouldn't have been as painful because I would have made different choices even when I was leaving. So I just knew that, like, I think that it is, these are skills that are not complicated. They're easy tools. And it is, now that I have them and I know how to use them, it would be such a good thing to be able to share this with other people, because I've seen what a huge difference it made. And when I have worked with people, some of my clients have said the same things. You know, one of the greatest compliments I ever got was a woman who, we finished a session together, and she said, I leave here working with you, or I leave this time working with you, feeling so calm and relaxed, and at the same time, so like confident and energized. She goes, I don't know, that doesn't seem to go together. And I was like, that's exactly what we're going for. That is the biggest compliment I've had. So that to me is what it's all about, is bringing that peace and that calm and that ability to cope in healthy ways to other people.
Beautifully said. So I do want to debunk a few myths before we get sure. into it. Many people think that yoga or meditation, or even as we are going to discuss Ayurveda, like, what the heck is that? People will say yoga in general is for the young and the skinny and the fit. I don't know what year it was, but I remember when yoga became sort of popular in magazines. Dare we blame it on Jane Fonda, or I don't know, the Beatles, or, you know, whoever at the time. I'm trying to remember who was on the cover of some magazine in the 1980s. Might even have been the 70s, might Cheryl Teagues or someone like that, right? Where yoga was seen as like for the rich and famous, right? Or for the sort of the Hollywood sect or something. And I want everyone to know that that's BS. It's not true. It doesn't matter how old you are. In fact, in yoga, the older you are, the more revered and respected you are.
Absolutely. Right?
I would rarely, and please don't be offended, yoga teachers, take a class from somebody in their 20s. I'm sure they're lovely teachers. I want to take a class from somebody who's been around the block and really understands the body, the energetics of prana and energy and flow and alignment and all that other stuff. It takes years of mastery and experience. So don't worry about how old you are. And it doesn't matter how skinny or how big you are. Doesn't matter. In fact, muscles and, you know, ligaments and all that is your the body that you're living in, but it really has nothing to do. It's sort of your container. Right. Your container that we all walk around in. Your skeletal system is your skeletal system, right? So even if you gain 20 pounds or lose 20 pounds, your bone for the most part, they're the same. It's a matter of just your body is your little temple and you carry it around with you, but the rest is malleable. So think about the body of how it endures stress, right? And thinking about ways that you can be resilient and strong, but yet calm, as Kathy mentioned, right? So let's talk a little bit, if you can break it down to some basic guidance or routines that you can suggest for people who are really having a difficult time overthinking or fidgeting or not sleeping. I found that a routine was key for me, having the structure of a circadian clock and having some structure in my life, because the definition of stress is, you know, the flux of life, right? The activity and inactivity and overactivity and learning how to manage all that. So if you in your home, even if it's just a nightstand in your bedroom, it doesn't have to be the whole square footage, can choreograph or contain or structure your environment in a routine so that you have a sacred space that brings you peace, where there is no chaos or less chaos. So that really helped me. Rising at a similar time in the morning and all that. So explain to people the overall philosophy behind bringing routine and structure. And that is a little bit of Ayurveda and yoga at the same time. So,
You've provided me the perfect segue. Good. You know, that, and before I go there, I do want to reiterate what you said about, yoga for every body age, type, size. In the West, the Western approach to yoga has kind of pulled yoga out as this physical activity. That's what yoga is. But the traditional yoga, the roots of yoga, it is a way of living your life. And yoga is a practice of not just being on the mat and practicing physical moves or asanas. It is a practice of how you live day to day. And yoga and Ayurveda are, yoga is actually a part of Ayurveda, and they're often referred to as sister sciences. So a big, huge part of Ayurveda is your routines. What is your morning routine? What are you doing for self-care every morning to take care of yourself? Are you having a warm cup of water in the morning or warm cup of tea that gets your digestive system flowing? That is a wonderful, easy, easy thing to do. Everybody could do that. They can fit that into their morning. You know, what the three pillars of Ayurveda are, what are your routines around sleep, food, and managing your energy? Those are the three pillars on which your entire well-being can be built or can fall into destruction. I mean, if you have a pattern for your sleep, like you had referred to, Paulette, like the waking time, go to bed at the same time every night, get up at the same time every day. But in that structure, also allow yourself the party for someone's birthday and you stay up later. Like you, Ayurveda is about harmony and balance and also allowing yourself the grace to enjoy life to the fullest. So even though you know that a particular food maybe isn't the greatest choice, you indulge and you enjoy that occasionally because it brings you joy. Unless, you know, it's a food you're allergic to. But if it's something that you're like, you know, it's the birthday celebration, I'm going to have that glass of wine, I'm going to have the piece of cake because I'm here to celebrate life. And then tomorrow I'll go back to what suits me best and supports my well-being. So that's really kind of how the routine piece is. Quite frankly, if we really look at our routines, we'll find that a lot of us don't have very good routines. And this idea of self-care, some people are like, oh, I'm going to this nail salon. We're talking about not just treating yourself. It is, what are you doing to support and nurture your well-being every day? Mm-hmm. So that's where those very simple, like, they're not sexy. They're not exciting. They're simple, but profoundly important especially when you're in a stressful situation, because those ground you and keep your immunity up and help you to function at your optimal level when you're dealing with stuff that's not pleasant.
Yes. And think of the body as having senses bombard you all day long. So we've got five senses: sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. And those five senses are bombarded, is the word I like to use, with data or, stimulus all day from the moment, well, basically from conception to death. Who's kidding who, right? But particularly during the day when we're alert, but even when we're sleeping, of course, that's a whole nother conversation about dreams and all, but you've got from the alarm going off or the sun in your eyes, or you can smell something. Are you cold? Are you warm? Is your bladder full? Your body's getting all these messages from your body through your senses. And your ability now is to react to those senses by either dialing them down and not reacting, which is hard to do, or addressing it, adjusting, and saying, thank you for visiting. I appreciate you keeping me alive, but I'm going to dial you down a little bit so that I don't have too much stimulus. So that's why we have shades, right? That's why we have thermometers and sweaters and blankets. And you can adjust to things so that you are comfortable. And that has nothing to do with the thinking mind. It's just a matter of keeping your homeostasis at a level where you're not making more stress, but you're decreasing that. I also found, as you mentioned, going to bed at the same time every night, going, arising in the morning at the same time. I try to aim for 10 and 6. That has a lot to do with vata, pitta, and kapha too, with activity in the middle of the day and sleep from 10 to 2 being the most active. So if you're curious about that, please reach out to Kathy. She can break it all down for you. It's very important to find out your dosha, because if you know your dosha, you're going to know if you're air, which is vata. You're going to know if you're fire, which is pitta. It sounds like it too, doesn't it? And kapha, which is earth, right? So it helps you understand, because like attracts like. So the kaphas who like to sit on the couch and eat meatloaf and mashed potatoes versus the pittas that like Tabasco and spicy food, right? And the vatas that like, you know, salads because it's all light and airy, isn't always the foods that keep them in balance.
Right.
In fact, sometimes it does the exact opposite. And temporarily, you know, I mean, it's fine to have a salad if you're Vata, but if you're only eating raw food, it's probably going to be a problem if you understand it. This knowledge helps you keep at a level, calm, balanced. So study it a little bit. I also found dry skin brushing and oil pulling and dry tongue scraping, Nasha oil. I just bought a new bottle of it. And that's spelled Nasya. And neti pots are really key for your success. It's really important that people establish that routine. So take people through what an example of what a routine might look like.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought up the different doshas, the different constitutions too, because each dosha's routine is going to be slightly different. And that's one of the things when I'm working with clients, I'm working one-on-one. So everything we do is very individualized, which is another beautiful part of Ayurveda, because each of us is a unique human being and we come with our own constitution, but we also have our own lifestyle and our own background. So it's wonderful because it allows us to be very individualized as far as health and wellness management. So a typical morning routine would be to get up about 5 or 6 a.m. I tend to go for the 6 because I like to sleep a little later. But that going to bed by 10. And when I say going to bed, that's going to sleep. So you probably need to be in bed by 9:30 if you actually want to be asleep by 10. Because if you're like me, you have a tendency to want to squeeze in one more thing before you turn out the light. But the idea in setting up these routines is they become just a part of you taking care of yourself every day. It's honoring the divine being that you are, that really hugely valuable part of your being, and honoring that by taking the best possible care that you can of yourself. So you're waking up early enough that you have time in the morning to do your tongue scraping, which helps. And this is a very gentle scrape with a special, you know, simple little tool. And it helps to clear some of the undigested food that just accumulates on our tongue at night, which is, we call it ama. And it is a toxin to the body and it builds up in different places. But the idea is we're helping to clear some of that away. And then also we're stimulating the digestive system as soon as we wake up in the morning, because it's very healthy to have your first bowel movement of the day in the morning. So that's just getting that process started. And then having that warm cup of water right after you brush your teeth. The oil pulling is another wonderful way to help clear some ama, and also helps with tooth and gum health. And just depending upon the season, you might choose a particular oil, or you might use coconut oil is especially cooling, so it's a great one to use in the summertime. But sesame oil is the traditional one that's used throughout India. You might want something that has a lesser flavor to it. But the idea is that this oil is pulling some of the ick out of your mouth. You spit it away into the trash. And then obviously just, you know, washing your face, cleaning your body. Abhyanga is a wonderful practice, especially for people who have a tendency to the Vata either imbalance or their primary constitution. And it is a simple, gentle, warmed oil massage of the body. You can then do your other little things around your bathroom, wash the face, brush the teeth while that oil is soaking into the skin. And then after 5 or 10 minutes, take your warm shower. Don't wash it all off. Let the shower open the pores a little more. That oil comes in and helps to moisturize the body. If you have a tendency to be, if you're Vata dosha, or you have a tendency toward that imbalance, that's helping to moisturize your whole system and get rid of some of that dry tendency that Vatas have. You want to, you know, so your morning routine is very supportive and nurturing to get your day off to a good start. I highly recommend doing your yoga meditation in the morning, a little breath work. Also, it's just a really great foundation for your day. And then you know it gets done. If you're anything like me, if it doesn't happen in the morning, probably not going to happen later in the day. In the midday, you want to have your Obviously, you want to have a breakfast, even if it's something small. A small breakfast is important because you're fueling yourself for the day and getting the digestive system moving. Midday, you want to have your biggest meal of the day because our digestion is strongest during the midday when the sun is high in the sky. Oftentimes, people have their biggest meal in the evening, and so that's a shift to bring it into the middle of the day. But we work toward making these shifts that are supportive. It doesn't mean that you don't go out and have a big celebration dinner every once in a while. You just don't make it your habit every day. And then I highly recommend, especially for people that are undergoing stress, an afternoon yoga nidra, about 15 or 20 minutes. This, for those of you that are not familiar with yoga nidra, it is you're lying flat. There's no movement whatsoever. This is allowing your physical body, your emotional body, your mind to just completely chill out. Mm-hmm. And it's a guided meditation. And there's research that shows 20 minutes of yoga nidra is like 2 hours of sleep for your body. So you're not going to sleep, but you're in this, the term that I've heard used is dynamic rest. You're aware, but the body is so deeply relaxed. You know, your heart rate comes down. It's just healing overall. And it gives you a little boost of energy. So if you get home in the afternoon after work, or you can slide it in your midday, I highly recommend that. And then your evening, you know, you want to make your meal times as pleasant as possible. If you have a family, sometimes that can also create its own bit of stress. But again, you want to have cooked, warm, nutritious, whole foods as often as humanly possible, because that is what nutrients come from. We, in Ayurveda, we highly discourage frozen stuff, cold stuff, uncooked stuff. I'm saying stuff, but foods. Leftovers are discouraged, which I know in modern life is, you're going to have them sometimes. Add a little black pepper. It helps to neutralize the things that are not great about leftovers. But try to make even the process of cooking your food, put like loving energy into that. Even if it's just for you, this is nourishment for you, maybe your family as well. So these are like, they're simple things, but there's a mindful component to all of them that honors your well-being and that of those that you are around. And then after dinner, for goodness sake, don't spend the whole night in front of a screen. I highly recommend the hour before you go to bed, you are either reading, you're spending time with people that you care about, and that you have this whole routine in the evening. One of the best things you can possibly do when you get into your bed is legs up the wall right before you go to sleep. It cues your parasympathetic nervous system, like, to really come into that rest state, let some of the stress of the day go. You can also use like marma points, which are these points on the body that you just gently touch. And it's another soothing practice. And again, these things they're simple. We just have to have we have to get into the habit of having the routines. And that's one of the things too, when I'm working with people one-on-one, instead of you going out and having to research all of this, I provide it for you. We do an assessment. We see where you are, what's already working for you, what's not. And then we build this program that's unique to you, and we can tweak it as you go. Because as you progress, you'll want new things. Some things won't work anymore. But I provide that program for you and walk you through it, because I find people have the best intentions, Paulette, and it's the sticking with it piece that's hard. Life happens and it just gets hard, even though we know how important it is. So working with someone who can just check in with you a couple times a week and walk you through your program a couple times a week, it really makes a big difference in being able to meet your goals and stick with what you want to achieve.
Yes. I want to bring up one other point that you kind of touched on, but when you shift from being in a couple to being single, right? It's a mindset change, mm-hmm. where when you're in a marriage and you're going through a divorce, and you know, sometimes you have to cohabitate for a while. Some people have to manage that, but eventually you'll be shifting thoughts to being single. And when you're in a marriage, you know, you have to share a bathroom sometimes, or you have to share a bed, or you have to share a kitchen, or share a table or a house. But when you're single, this whole world opens up to, I don't have to share my domain anymore. And that can be sad, but you know, let's keep that what it is, but also see it as lit, like, wow, that's incredible. So you can get up when you want to get up without fear of waking anyone. No one to wake. Woo, maybe the dog. Oh, well, they'll live.
They'll probably wake you up.
They'll probably wake you up. Right. Now you can have your routine out on your vanity or wherever it is, on your dresser or whatever, in your bedroom, set up. So it's more success. You're going to set yourself up for success. Yeah. So in the bathroom, you know, naturally you're going to, I always like cotton washcloths too. That's a macrobiotic thing, but you take the washcloth in hot water, as hot as you can stand, wring it out, and you wash your feet before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. It's magical.
And then do you
sleep better?
Do you oil your feet before bed? Because that's another Ayurvedic practice that
I wash them first, and mm-hmm. then I put a little oil on them, that Abhyanga, right? So especially because I'm Vata. So if you hadn't noticed. Yeah. So, but if you have it all laid out, so you've got your little oil pulling for the swishing it around in your mouth, and the little, all, you know, you can have it all put away or whatever, but it's laid out in an organized structure. Right. If you see it, it's harder to forget.
Yes.
Right. Even if it's in a cabinet.
Yeah. That's key for me, at least, is it's right there when I wake up in the morning. It just, like, I have a medication in the morning, and you know what? I put it right there. I can't forget it. It's right beside the sink.
Yeah. There's no excuses, right? So now if you've been in the routine for 6 months or a year and you've got it down, fine, put it in a cabinet. But if you're starting to make a routine, I promise you, you will be more successful if it's not out of sight, out of mind, but it's there. So you're going to have your oil, and you're going to buy, you can make oils. I'm sure Kathy can help teach you with the ingredients to make the right oil with the right essential oil and the right type for your dosha. So, but just have it visual in the morning. Then when you walk yourself into the kitchen, you're going to have a nice, tall, beautiful glass. Buy one glass. Buy some special glass that just makes you giddy. I don't care where you get it. Just make
perfect
sure it's
mug.
Gorgeous.
Perfect cup.
Yes, yeah. Right. So you have this beautiful cut crystal or glass for your water, and you have a lemon, like, right in there on your cutting board. So you got a fresh squeeze of lemon in your water. First thing you do while you're boiling the water, you're drinking your Sorry, while you're boiling the water for your tea, you're drinking your water to hydrate, right? So, and you walk in the kitchen, there's no excuses, because there's the glass, there's the water, there's the lemon, there's the tea bags, you know, and there's thousands. If you walked into my pantry, you'd faint, of different types of teas based on different seasons, right? My mm-hmm. husband's a coffeeaholic, so he's a coffee snob. So, pardon me, Stephen, but I love you for it. So, he hates tea, although I can get him to drink twig tea, which is called peasant tea. And that's a macrobiotic tea. It re-alkalizes your blood. So I love that tea too. It's called kukicha, but you can just Google twig tea or peasant tea. It's the same, it takes away the acidity in your blood and alkalizes your system. So whatever your routine is, but have one, and make sure it's visible. Then, plan ahead. Yeah.
What you're also saying too about having things out, if you are in a stressful period of life, the less you have to think or make decisions, the better. So having these things all out, you don't have to remember. Mm. You do have to remember certain things. That's not one of them. It's just there, and the reminder is visual. So it just takes, you know, it takes something off your plate that you don't have to try to remember, because, you know, when you're under stress, we're trying to keep it together and then also remember all the things that are super important. So sometimes these things, they just get forgotten because there are bigger fish to fry, so to speak.
Now, I didn't get divorced when we had Alexa. Oh, she's probably going to talk. Oh, she didn't. Good. But it's helpful, whether it's a pad of paper, or my husband has that electronic notepad thing. I forget what it's called. Old, whatever it is, if you need to remember things, a memo on your phone, because you're going to have a lot of things to remember. Don't mean to sound dramatic, but you will. So make sure you have a place to document, document, document what's going on, who said what to whom, what you need to do, where you need to be, because that structure will also create less stress in your life. So not only knowing what to do when you wake up, also make your bed immediately. I know that sounds a little OCD, but it just brings peace and structure to your day. And it also prevents you from crawling back in.
Yes.
There's a method to the madness.
There is,
Yeah, getting dressed, even if you don't feel like it, even if it's just a t-shirt and jeans, you know, I know those days when you're just like, this is like the worst day from hell when you're going through divorce, but just put on something that makes you happy. Put on yellow or pink or turquoise, purple, some pretty color. I'm wearing black today because it's freezing in Georgia today. But I only have two turtlenecks. This is it. Black and gray. Back when I lived in Boston, I had 9 or 10.
Yeah.
So have that structure. The one thing I wanted to mention too is about, you mentioned the largest meal in the middle of the day. And that is so key to having the digestive juices and fire and energy in your body when you need it. Because we think best between 10 and 2. Think about your day between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. You're kind of gearing up, right? 10 to 2, you're on fire. Creativity, writing, organization, get stuff done. And then what happens around 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
We start yawning, and that's the yoga nidra time, right? And I love that you're saying it that way. I hate when I hear yoga nidra. I go, no, it's not nidra. It's nidra. And my teacher, Rod, said that yoga nidra is the deepest state of awareness, a deepest state of rest coupled by awareness, like the two of them are together, right? So you're aware, but there's a deepest state of rest, and even the infirmed can benefit from it, believe it or not, right? Yeah. Now, the thing that I want you all to buy is a Breville, what do they call it? A risotto maker. It's cheating in macro, but it's good. Unless you're doing a, what's that thing called? A Kuhn-Rikon pressure cooker. Now, pressure cookers are a little scary to use them, but old school ones, right? With they lock and the little thing and the valve, and they've come a long way. But how you cook your food is important as what you're eating. She mentioned that. It's so important. So this is how I survived my divorce. I made, it's a 3-piece unit. It's not enormous and it's not expensive. I think it's $79. I've given away 150 of them. I kid you not. Cuisinart makes a smaller version, but Breville makes a larger version. So in the morning, I would use a grain, usually steel cut oats or whatever kind of organic oats you could find. But you can also do polenta or any grain, right? Any grain, but typically oats are good in the morning. Not a lot, though, like a quarter cup, a half a cup of whatever. And then you put in the steamer basket at the top. So you put in the water and the oats and you hit 3 buttons. It's so easy. Beep, beep, beep. And you put the basket in and I put in fruit. So it could be blueberries or raspberries or blackberries, preferably fresh, but frozen is okay because they're going to steam. So deep breath, everybody. I know it's cheating, but when you're going through divorce, you need to keep things simple. Yeah. So you oak up in the morning, you put in your thing of rice, sorry, oats, a thing of water, put the basket in, blueberries, beep, 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 cover, you're done. Now, you can add cinnamon or any other, she'll tell you which spices you should be using in your food, because Ayurveda is very particular about, well, who uses what spice for your dosha and your season, because the seasons are also Ayurvedic. So that's breakfast with your tea or your coffee. Well, yes, it's okay. You can drink coffee. It's not preferable because it's more acidic. And be very careful with too much dairy because it's too kapha, but you got to find the right blend. So delicious. Oh my God. It's so warm and cuddly and nutritious, and you're going to get the fiber that you need, but you're also going to get the antioxidants that you need just a little bit, just two or three little spoonfuls. So yummy. It'll give you enough energy to get to 10 o'clock to two, right? And then in the lunchtime, you can do short grain brown rice or some other kind of grain. You can throw in zucchini, squash, whatever. You can load the steamer basket with vegetables, whatever. And then you add a little bit of oil and a little salt and pepper, not too much salt, a little bit of spices, whatever. And just to add a little bit of nutrition there, and magnesium and iodine. And you are, it's like so nutritious and light, but warm. I got through my day by that Breville. And then dinner, depending on if I was just feeding myself or others, you could put shrimp or chicken or something in the, I also use tofu because I was pretty much vegan for 12 years. Hard to believe. Yes, I was. So you can put whatever you want in the top, right? And then another grain we would do, if there's a grain from A to Z, I own it. And I wouldn't even use my stove because it was so easy to clean too. I just rinse them out, put it right back in, dry it off. You need to simplify your cooking. Now, most people hate to cook when they're getting divorced. So what do? Wendy's, McDonald's, yeah, Chick-fil-A, pizza, hot dogs, Chinese food. You get the idea. And it's so bad for you. Occasionally it's fine, right? Occasionally, like if you're going to eat a pizza, fine, eat a pizza. It's fine. I don't mean the whole thing. But if you're home and you can come home, because what do we all say when we come home after work? What am I going to make for dinner? Yeah. And that's the tone of voice, right? Yeah. If you have fresh ingredients and you know, I can go right to my cooker, add the water, add the grain, add the veggies, hit beep, 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 done, right? It saved me from going crazy. Yeah. It also saved me a lot of money.
I have found for a long time, I didn't have an Instant Pot. And then I had some dietary things I needed to address. Mm. And I bought one so that I could cook meat from frozen, like bam, it didn't have to thaw. Right. That was something I needed to be able to do. I can cook frozen meat in 20 minutes in that Instant Pot.
Mm.
It is, and it comes out so, you know, soft and delicious, you know, it falls off the bone, that kind of thing. And then also like beans, like, you know, so fast, dried beans cook so fast. But I'm with you on the simplify, because your personal life is complicated. So any of these small tools that you can do to also simplify, yeah. I've even gotten to the point where if I'm going to have a busy day or I was in a stressful situation, I just was like, I don't want to have to think about food. I would make one dish at lunch and just eat it again for dinner, because all I knew is I needed to be nourished. And I just didn't care that much. I just didn't want to have to think about another meal.
Right.
But you mentioned also the, you know, timing of things and what we're selecting. Another good thing for your digestive system is to have soups and stews for dinner, because they're just lighter and they have a lot of liquid. So as your body's completing digestion over the night, it really helps to hydrate you while you can't be awake and drink. Mm-hmm. And then helps everything flow through the system. And something I didn't mention, but I definitely want to, is try to finish all of your eating for the day by 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all of the active part of our digestion is complete by the time we lie down to go to bed.
Yeah.
It will make your sleep much better and allow you to just, you know, the whole, these things all fit together. And I do find sometimes people are like, I'm just overwhelmed. It's too much. And I'll say, that's what we want to avoid. So let's step back and let's take three different things again. Let's take your sleep. Let's take your food. And let's take your energy management. Which thing that I've suggested in each of those categories can you do? And you know, that's going to, it's going to be good for you. And you know, you can do it without stressing about it. We're going to start small. And then we can always add, we can always tweak, but you want to, I want people to be successful and feel good about what they're doing and not get stressed about it. Because there are some personalities who are like, you gave me the plan. I need to follow everything in the plan. If I don't follow everything in the plan, then I'm letting myself down. And I'm, you know, that then it's more stress. That's the opposite of what we're going for.
Yes.
It's really important to give yourself grace in all of this and know that every day is a new day. You start fresh. And you just try again. So,
right.
I don't lose sight of that.
Perfect. Now, for people who don't have a physical routine, whether that be going to the gym or running, jogging, tennis, you know, I'm going to list all the sports, but, you know, some sort of habit where they go to a routine and they know that movement is an important aspect to wellness. What is the best way for them to integrate, starting to get the juices flowing, maybe break a sweat two or three times a week, and just integrate some movement into their life?
I tell people the easiest thing to do is to take a walk. Mm-hmm. And there are so many benefits from that. You can get cardiovascular activity, and it doesn't have to be a power walk. In Ayurveda, we walk the sort of like peak of a daily walk is where you just barely begin to perspire, like along your spine, and that you've reached a point where you're starting, the heart has been elevated, and then you can turn around and come home. So a 20 minute walk, even if all you can get in is 100 steps after each meal, that helps with your digestion too. But if you can go outside, you get fresh air, you get sunshine, you get trees, grass, all of that. Those things are so healing, and we don't often think about the impact they make, but they're really huge. Mm-hmm. So if you just really want the simplest thing you can possibly do, walk every single day, mm-hmm. unless it's pouring rain or you're sick, just go walk. And if all you can fit in that day is go to the mailbox, then do it. Some days are easier than others.
Yes. Another thing you can do is when you are running around doing errands, don't park deliberately the closest to the mall or the grocery store. Try to park. I know if you've got packages that maybe you can't do this, but you've got a carriage. Park as far away as you can, right? Yes. That's the only time in your day to get some fresh air into your lungs and get your heart pumping more than just, 60 beats a minute, something really slow. And just get some fresh air. That'll do it. Just yeah. Especially with holiday shopping, you're lucky if you could find a space, except the ones really, really far away, right? So make a deliberate attempt. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Park mm-hmm. farther away. Make that choice to walk up and down every aisle in the grocery store. Even if you don't need anything in the aisle, just walk. You know, it's an extra 5 seconds. You'll be yeah. fine. You won't be late. Just get some movement if you don't have a choice. And I know it's harder in the winter because going outside when in the freezing cold is not fun, although it's really good for your lungs. So
it is invigorating.
It is invigorating. Maybe it's 10 minutes and not 30 minutes, but just right. get out there, right?
Well, and I would also suggest, like, okay, say there's an ice storm, but you really can't get out and walk, or you know, you might have, there might be something going on with your health and that's not feasible.
Sure.
So another routine that I've suggested to people, you can do this in your bed before you even wake up in the morning. And these are yoga movements, but they're very simple and easy. In the bed, beside the bed, do a banana stretch to one side, banana to the other side. So you've done a lateral bend. So you're lengthening the sides of your body. You can bring your right knee up to your chest and hold it there for a count of three or four. And that is bringing, that's putting some pressure on that right low abdomen. So you're stimulating that side of the digestive system. Always start with the right, because that's the natural flow of digestion from the right to the left. And then you bring your left knee up. This is also helpful with if you have a tendency toward constipation, gets things moving. It also can help with gas and bloating. Then bring both knees up to your chest. And then get out of your bed, do a couple cat cows in that hands and knees position, drop the belly, curve the spine toward the ceiling. Just do inhaling as you drop the belly, curving the spine as you exhale. Now you've done that other spinal flexion. And then come up and do some mountain pose and bend halfway. If you've got any blood pressure stuff going on, put the hands on the thighs and just bend forward, or you can come all the way down to a forward fold. Do that repeatedly a few times. If you're flexible and have practiced before, add in a couple down dogs. You've done a very good job of stretching your whole body. You're going to have energized yourself, and you're going to have worked out any of the kinks of just being sedentary all night when you're asleep. The muscles just get tight. And that can take you 5 minutes, 10, if you'd really take your time. So I highly recommend doing those things, because you're just going to, it has so many different benefits, and you just feel better when you take off for the morning.
One thing too is also lubricating all the joints, moving the fingers, the wrists, mm-hmm. the elbows, the shoulders, the hips, the knees, the ankles, just all those kind of, even the neck, just gentle. Think of just every joint in your body and lubricating it, right?
Just give rotating it a little,
joint.
Just yeah. Like when we're using a piece of equipment that hasn't been used for a long time, it gets kind of stuck and you have to sort of lubricate it, get it going again. Same thing with their body. Right.
Well, I do hope that this conversation has been helpful for people. I know myself, when I was at the beginning of my journey of kind of leaving the dance world behind and stepping into my new life, I would always ask myself, what is my new career? What am I going to do? What is it that brings me joy? Not that I ever wanted to stop dancing. Like, you know, if I hear good music and I'm at a party, trust me, you watch out. But on the other hand, I knew that it wasn't my calling. It wasn't my calling. And I also challenge all of you to find what works for you. What is it that really, truly brings you joy? Simplicity will help you uncover what brings you joy. It's clutter and confusion and overwhelm and stress that disallows you from connecting to that part of yourself. So see this as a conversation about simplicity. Minimizing the overwhelm and the stress. Divorce is another word for change. Every part of your life will change. Some of those changes you'll find to be fabulous and amazing, empowering and inspiring. Others, you know, kind of feel like a swift kick in the behind and feel very painful. So know that there is a way to manage the stress of the divorce, whether it was something you decided on, or it was being decided for you. It is an opportunity to create change in your life for the better. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to reach out to Kathy. She is an expert as committed to helping people live their best life through yoga and Ayurveda. And I also had the joy of seeing her after her retreat that she had last year. And she came down to Belize and stayed with me at our home down there and got to know her a little bit more down there too. So I don't know what she's got up her sleeve for 2024 with all that, but I want you to reach out, get to know her, learn about her, work with her, follow her. Kathy, what is the best way for people to follow you and learn more about you?
I think the best place that people can go is my website, which is findblissyoga.com. And there is right on the site a 60-second stress slayer breathing technique that I recommend to everyone. It comes with a bonus, by the way. So it's not listed there as the bonus, but it comes with one. And that's something you and I didn't really touch on a lot is breath work and meditation. Mm-hmm. But those are a big piece of what I help people work with at whatever level they're comfortable. Yeah. So we can kind of bring those things in. Because like you said, that the whole idea is like being so strong and grounded and resilient inside that when the stuff happens outside, like you've just, it happens. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to need to deal with that instead of, oh my God, you know, which is, it happens. I mean, it's going to happen because we're human. Right. We can't always be completely calm. But the more we have these practices and routines, the easier it is for us to like, oh my God, okay, now I can handle this and come back to that, that natural state of calm and peace that really is like, that's how we're born as babies, peaceful and naturally at ease. That's our natural state. We just have to figure out how to come back to it.
And when you are in that state of allowing the parts of your mind, because it all comes from the thought process of allowing the inner knowingness, the intuition, your ability to discern and wisely connect to the soul, you make better decisions. If you allow yourself to make decisions based on external stimulus, those senses we talked about, maybe even your memory from the past,
or even your emotions. Like if you let your emotions drive your decisions, not good. just not good.
Yeah. And your ego, emotions, senses, and your memory, dial those down and start to dial up that part of you that allows you to make better decisions. And the way to do that is to stay so grounded in your own inner knowingness that nobody can push you over. You're a force to be reckoned with in the calm of the storm.
Right.
Thank you for this conversation, everyone. Yes, for over a decade, I taught yoga classes, asana, yoga teacher trainings, and it was a blessing. And I think it's given me a strong foundation in which to build Better Divorce Academy and help people through all aspects of divorce, not just the judicial, legal, financial, the residential, lending, insurance and taxes, co-parenting side, but also the psychological, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual side of divorce. There's a lot to it, and you need the tools to succeed. So thank you, Kathy, for being here with me. Thanks, everyone. As you know, there's a better way. You can make it happen. Till next time.
Yeah. So the other piece of this too is that having a coach, a bestie, a person that you can call like Paulette, when you have those oh my God moments and you do have that emotional reaction and you aren't able to like figure out what's going to happen next or what you should do next, that's when you send the message, you set the appointment, you make the phone call, because that is really an important thing to feel comfortable doing, to reach out for the help when you need it. That's honoring yourself too, being courageous enough to say, I need help. I don't know what to do here. And I'm overwhelmed, because it's easy to get into that situation. So it's really smart to reach out and ask for that support. And so thank you for providing it. When I was in that, you got a few text messages and phone calls for me where I was definitely in that, oh my God, this is what happened. What do I do now? So.
Well, if you haven't, even if you have gotten divorced before and you're an attorney or a divorce expert, it's different when you're walking through it. It's your life. It's your future. And if you don't understand what the lawyers are talking about or the fiduciaries are talking about, or it's important. There's no dress rehearsal in this.
Right. And everyone is unique. Everyone is unique. So yeah. Something can happen that you just don't see coming. And you just need that. You need that right hand man or woman.
And be careful with those mitigating the people that you think are the answer. Family.
Right. Yeah.
Professionals, neighbors, coworkers.
Friends. You don't want people taking sides.
Adult children. Like, be careful who you share your innermost concerns, thoughts, fears, experiences with. It may turn out to be good advice, but it usually isn't. So be very careful. Find that professional, someone like yourself, that can be objective, but also forward thinking, getting you unstuck so that you have the right answer, you have homework, you feel purposeful, you know what to do to keep moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. It's more about having the skills and the tools and the experience and the knowledge, as in this exact moment in time, granted the situation I'm going through, what do I do and to make myself give myself the edge?
Right.
I can make a smart choice here and not an emotional choice. So, well, thank you for that. I didn't expect you to say that. So that was very, very kind. But true. I mean, we worked together for a good year, right? So yeah. And here she is thriving on the other side. So
yes, that's the thing too. I think that having a coach helps because you are so in it. You're both objective. You have the knowledge and then the forethought to say, okay, you're in it right now. This will be over in a while. Let's decide, like, what do you need to do to deal with it to move on to the next thing, to get you closer to wrapping this all up. And that was really key for me too.
The emotions can be hot and
fiery
and angry and, you know, so intense.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. I want people to understand that piece. Like, there are definitely times where you should feel anger. And anger can motivate you to take action, but you also want to be making the correct action. So you want to, it might not be your initial reaction. This is when you call Paulette and say, I'm so angry. What do I do now?
Well, I'm so proud of you. It's a joy and a privilege to witness couples who come to me for mediation and individuals who come to me for certified divorce coaching, whether it's high conflict or not, in one state, and to witness their evolution and their journey from where they are when I meet them to where they are at the end of the journey. And we're never done, but we do evolve. It's And I only play a small role in that as a facilitator.
One that
helps you create a vision and a goal to get you to where you are, to where you want to be. And having that place to ask the question where you know it's going to be kept confidential. And you also know that you're going to get the right answer. Be careful what you Google. Googling is fine. I love Google. You know, ChatGPT and Pinterest and YouTube and all those things. But be very careful. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. So it's important to have experience while you're doing this. So to everybody, I love you all. And hey, I've only got a few more spots on that retreat in May. So look me up, get you there, see you on the beach. So till next time, be better. I am hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tierra, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host, Tierra, and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Until next time, keep thriving in the chaos.